Welcome to Seeking Alpha's Wall Street Breakfast, your daily source of market news and analysis. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher.
Good morning. Today is Wednesday, December 16th, and I'm your host, Steve Brown. Our top stories today: Fed's final meeting of 2020, world's biggest cannabis company, and IPO market on fire. Leading today's news: investors this afternoon will tune into the Fed's latest quarterly projections on economic growth, unemployment, inflation, and interest rates, which will be the first since the pandemic intensified, only to be followed by historic vaccine progress. While no changes are expected on rates, they're already near zero, the central bank's asset purchase program could see certain adjustments. Some expect the Fed to increase the current pace of the $120 billion bonds per month or buy longer-dated bonds to stimulate the economy, though others see it providing outcomes-based guidelines that are needed before tightening monetary policy. At Jerome Powell's press conference, there could also be some talk about how monetary policy can address inequality and the climate, as well as some focus on the timing of the inflation overshoot. In other news, shares of Tilray and rival Aphria are surging in pre-market trade, up nearly 20% and 12% respectively, after Bloomberg Canada reported that the pot firms are in advanced talks to merge. The combined company is expected to keep the Tilray name, but with Aphria CEO Irwin Simon as CEO, and Aphria holding a bigger stake and most of the board seats. It's also seen moving its headquarters to the U.S. as it focuses on winning market share in that country. Note, BNN Bloomberg also reported over the summer that Aphria was in talks to merge with Aurora Cannabis, but that deal never came to fruition. ContextLogic, the parent company of e-commerce platform Wish, is expected to begin trading on the NASDAQ this morning following the blockbuster IPOs of Airbnb and DoorDash last week. Shares were priced at $24 each, at the top end of the marketed range, raising $1.1 billion and giving the company an initial valuation of $17 billion. The offering is the 31st on a U.S. exchange this year to exceed a billion, according to data compiled by Bloomberg. More records. With Wish, more than $20 billion has now been raised in public listings in December, while the 2020 IPO total has reached more than $174 billion. Signs of progress toward a coronavirus stimulus package lifted sentiment on Tuesday, allowing the S&P 500 to shake off a four-day losing streak, while futures suggested the rally could continue after advancing another 0.3% overnight. Top congressional leaders indicated they were inching closer to striking a deal after a day of meetings, while vaccine optimism and a dovish stance at today's Fed's meeting are expected to propel markets further. It is just another excuse for those that missed the rally, or that are bullish anyway, to buy into it, said Luca Paolini, chief strategist at Pictet Asset Management. U.S. retail sales data will also be published this morning, which could show a rise for the seventh consecutive month in November, as well as purchasing managers' surveys that are likely to display a continued expansion in the U.S. The time frame in which most Americans will be eligible for a coronavirus vaccine keeps moving up. Just 2 weeks ago, Dr. Moncef Slaoui, head of Operation Warp Speed, said the U.S. could immunize one-third of its population within 3 months, but it now looks like most of America could get a vaccine by that date. Depending on the decisions by our governors, but I believe we'll have enough supply out there to be reaching out to the general public for administration at your CVS, Walgreens, Kroger's by the end of February into March, said Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar. That timeline could be even earlier if the approval of the AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson vaccine comes soon, he added. On Tuesday, the FDA said that a jab developed by Moderna was highly effective, setting the stage for an emergency authorization later this week, while Pfizer and BioNTech began shipping their vaccine nationwide on Sunday. Facebook is lifting its temporary post-election ban on political ads that was implemented to prevent confusion or abuse as Georgia gears up for a January 5th runoff election that will determine which party takes control of the Senate. We agree that our ad tools are an important way for people to get information about these elections, Facebook wrote in a blog post, We will reject ads that target locations outside of Georgia or that are not about the elections for violating our advertising policies. And we will continue to prohibit any ad that includes content debunked by third-party fact-checkers or delegitimizes the Georgia runoff elections. As of now, Republicans will hold a 50-48 majority in the Senate, but if Democrats win both of the Georgia runoff races, Vice President-elect Kamala Harris would be the tie-breaking vote, giving the party control of the White House and Congress. Last week, Google also lifted its own temporary pause on elections-related advertising after a blackout of more than a month due to concerns over election misinformation. In some good news for lenders like Deutsche Bank, Banco Santander, and ING, the European Central Bank has lifted a de facto ban on bank dividends, which had been frozen in an effort to preserve cash for lending during the pandemic. Strict limits will still be in place on payouts in order to ensure lenders maintain financial strength. Dividends and share buybacks must remain 15% of accumulated profit for 2019 through 2020, and not higher than 20 basis points of the Common Equity Tier 1 ratio, whichever is lower, the central bank announced. The Fed has also barred the biggest U.S. banks from stock buybacks and capped dividends at second quarter levels through the rest of 2020. Last quarter, Apple's iPhone sales missed estimates due to the pandemic-related iPhone 12 delay, but things are looking much different this time around. Reports suggest the company will produce 95 million to 96 million iPhones for the first half of 2021, which is up nearly 30% on the year due to strong 5G demand. Wedbush's Daniel Ives notes that the target is well ahead of street expectations, and another bullish sign of iPhone 12 demand, as the stock climbed 5% on Tuesday, with more gains likely at the open. There are also plans to ramp up to 230 million iPhones next year, up 20% year over year, though an industry-wide component shortage could put pressure on Apple's goals. As of 6:20 a.m. today, U.S. futures, crude oil, gold, and Bitcoin are all set to open in the green. On today's economic calendar, retail sales are out at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to rate and review it below. Your feedback is deeply appreciated.
That concludes today's Wall Street Breakfast. Thank you for listening. For the best investment analysis and news on the web, go to SeekingAlpha.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can sign up for our other podcasts, Behind the Idea, Essay for FAs, Let's Talk ETFs, the Cannabis Investing Podcast, and Marketplace Roundtable on those platforms as well. Have a great day.